The Remarks of the President at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Dinner, 1952.
Mr. Commander, distinguished guests, it's been a long time since I've had the privilege of attending this dinner. When I was a member of the United States Senate, I was able to come regularly. I'm glad of the privilege to come once more, and I'm sorry that I couldn't be with you all evening. But there are so many calls and things on the President and the First Lady. She is attending a benefit for some organization here that needs a benefit. And I had to help her get off to that program. This organization is quite an organization. If I'm not mistaken, no old Confederates alive and no VARs alive. It's the oldest veterans organization in existence now. Is that correct? I became a member of it as soon as I was eligible. That was back in 1919, as soon as I got back from overseas. And I'm still a dues-paying member. I was getting out of hint on that subject. I've enjoyed the association. When you had a convention in Kansas City during the 20s, I think it was, and I was presiding judge of the county court of Jackson County, which is not a court, it's an administrative organization. The only judicial thing that that court does is to get two physicians to tell the court that a fellow is mentally unbalanced, and then they declare him insane. In a great many instances, the customers on the other side of the bench think that the court ought to go to the insane asylum instead of themselves. And a lot of people in the county thought that too. But I was lucky in having a lot of good help. And as I remember it, and of course now I'm bragging, I think that Kansas City convention is one of the finest ones you ever had. I don't know how many of you were there. I had also had some experience previous to that in 1921 with the Legion convention, which practically tore up the town. I'll say this for the VFW, they left the town in good fix. They didn't empty any pillars, and they didn't tear down any lampposts, nor did they tear up the streets very much. We had a grand time. I think this is a great idea that you have of having this dinner for those members of the government who have been members of the armed forces. It's a grand thing. It takes notice of the fact that there are lots of ways for a man to display his patriotism. He can do it by making his contribution to the production effort of the country. He can do it as a part of the legislative and administrative branches of the government, and he can do it also by wearing a uniform. And when he does all three, he's really made a contribution to the welfare of the country. We are faced at the present time with a very peculiar situation. It's an emergency which is hard for people to understand because in a lot of instances it does not really touch them except when they have to pay taxes to support the situation, and then they scream like they always do when you have anything to do with taxes. But we're going through a period, the conclusion of which, if we can bring out successfully, will mean peace in the world from now on. If we are not successful, it may mean the destruction of civilization. Most of you understand that situation. Most of you appreciate what we're going through. We're faced with a situation now, which we face every 4 years, in which the country has to go through a certain amount of spasms, decide on what it's going to do and not going to do, and they throw bricks and mud and all sorts of things at each other. But in the final analysis, when the welfare of the country is at stake, everybody does his part. We've never yet been in a condition when the country as a whole does not come to the support of the government when the very existence of the country is at stake. And I know that'll happen this time, in spite of the fact that we're just going to have a lot of fun this summer. It started last night in a kind of a riot over here at the Georgetown University. I listened to that riot because I was trying to find out what was going on. You know, I couldn't hear a word. And it must have been a most enthusiastic meeting. I'm glad of that, because that means there's going to be quite an interest in this coming campaign this year, and maybe we'll come out with the right result. When the time comes, I'm going to try to tell you what the right result is. That's not an announcement. I understand that you're going to present a medal to that great ship captain who believes in the ancient tradition. I think he's entitled to it. I think he earned it. And I want to congratulate this organization and to congratulate that good captain for carrying out a tradition that's as old as shipping in the world is. I hope this organization will continue to be the energetic, patriotic organization that it always has been, and I'm sure you will, and I hope the time will come when you'll expire from old age, because there won't be any foreign wars.
Mr. President, may I say to you, sir, that the veterans of foreign wars shall never forget the convention in Kansas City when you were the chairman, and we've always been extremely proud of that. Now, there was a mention made a moment ago about a life membership, and we've already taken care of that. But first, I would like to show you, as I present this, a cap that was specially made that only one man will ever be permitted to wear, the President of the United States. I think the President was reading my mail, gentlemen, because there is a gold life membership for the President of the United States and the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
That's what they're doing to me, I believe. I thank you.
And now, as the peace dealer resistance, sir, a diamond gold cross of Malta for you to wear as you see fit.
Put it on.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Mr. Commander, I thank you very much for this high honor. I appreciate that gold card. You know, I've got a box full of them, but there's not a single one that I'll appreciate and honor more than I do this one. And I'm glad I made that hint about that two-spin. Two-spin, remember? You see what I got out of it. Thank you very much. I'm more than appreciative.